Good morning. I would like to consider this morning a passage of Scripture in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. The Scripture says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." I would like to speak this morning on the subject of approaching God. In the book of Psalms, chapter 65, in verse 4, David said, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causeth to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts." Based upon the Word of God, approaching the Lord is accomplished by two immutable are unchangeable things. First of all, God's electing grace. Blessed, the Scripture says, is the man that thou choosest. And secondly, it's God's effectual calling. Also, not only is the man blessed whom God chooses to approach, but causes to approach. Man left to himself has no heart to approach Almighty God. Therefore, God must choose or will for a man to approach Him, and then must work in that man to graciously and effectually accomplish His will. The Scripture says that God attracts His people powerfully, causing them to approach. Now, the amazing thing about approaching God is that the sheep, God's people, will do it eventually, even though by nature they were, as all men are, uninterested in the things pertaining to God. Here is the wonder of approaching God. My first point is that God is approached willingly by those that were not naturally seeking Him. Is this by accident? Oh no. If the Lord is found, He is found on purpose, but not by man's will or man's ability or by man's carnal interest, but by God's will. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 1, the Scripture says, "I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not." These things sound and seem foolish to the carnal man, but only here do we find consistency with God's sovereignty and man's total depravity. The first verse in Exodus 3 says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." Here we find God's predestinating grace directing and ordering the steps of His elect. Was Moses going where he wanted to go? Sure he was. Was God accomplishing His purpose to bring Moses to Himself? Absolutely. Was Moses seeking God? No. Was God seeking, drawing, and causing Moses to come? Yes, He was. God's people do come. They shall come. But John 6:44 says, no man can come or has the ability to come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. How long does God Almighty draw his people to himself? Why, all of their life. By providence, in due season, his drawing shall be effectual in the day of his power. Everything that happened not only to Moses, but to all that Almighty God has purposed to save by the Lord Jesus Christ, happens according to God's will. Moses, at his birth, was looked upon as an honorable child. His mother saw that he was a goodly child. All the Hebrew children were supposed to have been killed. But Moses' mother put him into a small basket and pushed him out into the river. And the daughter of Pharaoh found him, brought him, adopted him, made him part of their family. Moses grew up in Egypt. In time, Moses was cast out because he had killed an Egyptian. And now here he is, years later, keeping a flock of his father-in-law. Providence. Providence. Secondly, God is approached only by and through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second verse of that third chapter says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Here is a picture in the burning bush of the God-man, Christ Jesus, the union of two natures, the flame, his deity. Hebrews 12:29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. And the bush itself, a picture of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a low, thorny, bramble bush, but oh, much more. Isaiah 53 and verse 2 says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. This is the angel of God's presence and covenant, the eternal Word of God. In verse 4 of Exodus chapter 3, we read, and the Lord saw that he turned aside, and God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. Here we see Christ Jesus the Lord speaking to his own. But notice who initiated the meeting. The scripture says in verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. Moses saw where he didn't see before. But again, notice the blindness of a man's natural heart. It does not say that Moses saw the Lord. It says that he saw the bush. One would think that a great sight like this would immediately stir a man to see God, but not so. God is visible in creation and providence, and that alone exhibits the falsehood of other gods and the folly and wickedness and weakness of idolatrous worship. But how dim is the light of nature. Man beholds the glory of God in all things and sees him not. But consider the miracle of God's grace to draw Moses to himself. In that third verse, it says, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. God's people are willing in the day of his power. This brings me to my third point. God is approached only in pure holiness. Look at verse 4 and 5. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. God outside of Christ is unapproachable. Why? Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16, the scripture says, Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. As Moses turned aside to see, God in mercy called out, Moses, Moses. Here is the eternal Word calling effectually his sheep by name. And Moses heard and said, Here am I. God arrests his people and reveals himself as a just God. He told Moses, Don't approach me with your shoes on. Why was that? Why, shoes here are a symbol of a man's walk, and the dust upon them reveals the impurities of our inability, and God will not be approached in our work or in our walk or our carnal and frail efforts. He said, The place that you're standing is a holy place. In the book of Psalm, chapter 24, verses 3 to 4, the scripture says, Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Why? Could any of us claim to have those credentials? Absolutely not. Only the Lord Jesus Christ and His holiness is God approached. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, and verses 1 and 2, the scripture says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Ephesians 2:18 says, For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And then lastly, God is approached only because he is the covenant God. Exodus 6:4 says, I have also established my covenant with them, that is, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God entered into a covenant, a contract, with those that he chose to redeem. And the Lord Jesus Christ was the surety. You know what a surety is. That's the cosigner. Someone cosigns a note for you at a bank. They make that loan good if you can't pay. God Almighty entered into a covenant with Christ Jesus the Lord as the surety. And why did God do this? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.